Hello and welcome to Sprovcast, the English language Sprovka Vano podcast that nobody asked for. My name's David.
And if you're looking for more football, you've missed the boat, I'm afraid.
Oh yeah?
No more football.
Well, no more football around here.
Until the end of February, stroke start of March.
Yeah, last week of February, first week of March, something like that. It's a long time, but a long time to get over what has been an odd end to this particular part of the season. Odd part of the season with a curious end that we're going to talk about.
It's just been a very strange season.
It has, yeah. We'll start in a second because we've got 7 sections today. So that's nice, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. You also did that one off camera. Yeah. Off camera? That's not
off
a thing.
Mic. Yeah.
Off mic. There we go. Sans mic.
Yeah, so that's quite a nice number of sections to have, isn't it?
Good.
Yeah. We've got the 3 games that have been and gone with Sprovka. We've got...
3? We talked about 3?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Oh, okay. I'm just forgetting everything today.
Yeah, we've got a quick potted history of all the names Kromjerich, Beer of the Podcast, Hot or Not, and some foreign fun updates, because we were both in countries various, watching teams various with results various. So we can...
Oh, don't give it away!
So we can... Yeah, spoiler alert, things happened. So we can talk about some of that as well. But first of all, we're going to think back almost a month to Sprovka versus Lishen, the battle for the Shtetl. And that's after this thing. So this was the first game in the post-Klusacek era, the actual Klusacek era being very short and not that successful. And we won 3-0.
Yes.
Which was, I would say, slightly unexpected.
Yes.
I've written, 3 goals probably flattered us, but 3 points did not.
Yes.
Overall, it was an absolute stroll, really, wasn't it? They didn't really...
Agree.
Yeah.
I don't think Lishen were up to much at all, frankly. No. I got a really good view of everything because, of course, I was ill.
But the
stars aligned pretty nicely for this one to be on the telly. Mm. So for all the time that I moan about their games being, you know, on 5:30 or 5 o'clock because of Çete Sport, well, you know, look at me now, the big hypocrite.
Yeah.
It really was. I mean, like you say, strolled it. I can't really think of... really too much happening the other way for Sprovka after the team took the lead.
Yeah, really not. I mean, the little butcher, as is his way, gets us up and running after half an hour with Fosek providing the assist. It's a back four. It's a sitting two with Yudka Hamza joining Texel at the base of midfield, and then Fosek, Pachlotnik and Aliagic kind of rotating and buzzing about behind the butcher. Nice to see Pachlotnik back properly doing Pachlotnik things, which is very nice. Yeah, Fols getting an assist. And, as you said, didn't really have anything the other way, didn't look that troubled. It was only 1-0 up until the 83rd minute, but we never looked like we were going to blow it, which is odd for us. But Cronus seals the points in the 83rd minute strike, and then the icing goes on the cake because there's a last-minute penalty, which the butcher... sticks away.
Duly converts.
Indeed.
I'll be honest with you, David. I forgot entirely that we'd have to speak about this match on the podcast. The only thing that I can really think that that Lishen really had was that there was quite a good chance by Milan Lutonski. Mm-hmm. I think towards the end of the end of the piece, which was duly taken care of. But I can't really think of that much in the way of chances, really, that Lishen fashioned out.
No, it was one of Berkey's quieter games. I'm sure he'll be happy about that. So that was... Yeah, it was good. I mean, yeah, without... With Hamza playing in central midfield, which is sort of what they started doing with Endel last season, to kind of get a, you know... Maybe if we're weirdly lacking in squad depth in midfield. I don't know what Hellebrand is for, but he only appeared with 10 minutes to go in this one.
That feels like that's just going to be his job.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Yeah, as you said, Berkowitz didn't have that much to do, but it did give him time to have a quiz put together about him. So that was quite good fun. So before we go any further, let's play All Sorts of Jets with Martin Berkowitz. Jets.
Ooh.
There you go. As you're contractually obliged to do at this point. We've done that joke a lot.
That, yeah. Every time I think a corner's being turned.
Yeah, and not just with the team with this limping format. But no, this is, you know.
It's only half a season to go, listen.
Yeah. Our number one is, as we know, a big fan of anything to do with jet propulsion, but he'd like to expand his knowledge of all other things known as jets. So, question one. Which city's NHL team is called the Jets? Liam will know this because it's his...
NHL?
Yes. National Hocking.
Because is there not a hand egg team called the New York Jets?
There is a hand.
Oh, I know. It's is it okay? Back to Winnipeg.
Certainly is.
Nice. Okay. Yeah.
Question two: the word jet is from the French verb jeter, itself from the Latin jactare. Uh-huh. But what does that verb mean?
Is it one of the? I don't know. Is it that wee thing that you get at the end of a pier? is it to propel?
Can you be a little bit more specific?
Propel forward.
How?
By force.
Coming from?
The rear.
You're sort of in the right direction, but it's a very specific type of...
Sure. I will happily drop a point for that one.
Throw.
To throw?
Yes, to throw.
Oh, so it's not really propel at all.
He propels it. If you throw it, you're propelling it forward, aren't you?
I don't know. Would you say...
Using the potential energy in your muscles?
Did you say he propelled the javelin? Would you... Through the javelin.
Yes. But it was propelled using his arm, I suppose. Anyway.
Question three.
Question three. Jet was one of the original Gladiators from ITV's popular Saturday evening show. But in what year was Gladiators first aired? You can have a year either way.
That's such a good question. My initial thought was 1991, but I think that's too late. Went on for about 3 or 4 years.
Went on for a long time.
I'm a gladiator. Do, 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 do.
You know,
did Ulrika Johnson present it at one point?
Her and John Fashanu were the original presenters.
Awooga!
Yes. Yeah. And it went on for so long, they had to bring in a secondary cast of gladiators because the original, what were they, like 6 or 7 or 8, was knackered.
Wolf, Jet, Shadow, like you said, Rhino.
Lightning, Hunter, they were all of them.
I think I'm going to get this one really wrong. I'm just, for the sake of it, going to say 1988.
You should have gone 91.
Oh, was it actually 91?
It was 1992, but you would have been in the year either way.
So. Yeah. Mm. Oh, I'll be honest, everything was a blur back then, seeing as in 1992 I was 4. So.
Well, yes. Question number 4. The distinctly average Australian band Jet were formed in Melbourne, Australia, but which Australian state is Melbourne in?
Oh, that's really good. Right. Sydney's in New South Wales.
Yes.
Melbourne then. Is Melbourne in... No, because Victoria's to the north. No. Queensland is to the north. Oh, I want to say it's Victoria or Queensland. And I know how this quiz works, David, because I will say, here are the two options I'm working with, and I will always go with the one that's wrong. New South Wales.
It's Victoria.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
just, you know.
Yeah, Queensland's, is it Darwin, I think, is Queensland?
Darwin is the Northern Territory.
Sorry, Northern Territories, yeah.
Is that Brisbane?
Might be Brisbane. Yeah, and then you've got...
Where Kylie's from.
And then, obviously, you've got Sydney, New South Wales, Melbourne, Victoria, Adelaide, Southern Australia, Perth, Western Australia.
And Hobart.
In Tassie. Yeah, there you go. And finally, question 5. The Jets are one of the street gangs in the musical West Side Story. What's the name of their rival gang?
Benny and the Jets. No, the Sharks, is it?
Yes, very good. Yeah, the Sharks.
They click their fingers at each other because that's how gangs work.
It certainly is in 50s musical theatre.
I'll be honest, David, when you said that it was around about jets, I was terrified because I know nothing about physics or how things work.
Which is why I made it all kinds of jets with Martin Berkovets. Right, well that was a thing that happened.
It was. 3-0, great result.
Yeah. We're gonna talk about another 3-0, spoiler alert, after this.
So I went to Crobbiogies and you didn't.
I didn't, no.
So I took the band of Merry Men, which was Fraser, Liam, Ben and Steve, to the Hanatska region to see us cruise to a 3-0 win.
Yeah, away another 3-0 cruise. And yeah, at this point we were thinking that binning your manager thing seems to be quite a good tactic.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, 3-0 makes it sound like a good game. It wasn't really that much of a good game. I think that Texel picked up a knock after the Leishen encounter, so we only started on the bench, and we actually did, for once, start Hellebrand, who was, I mean, fine. You know, so you could say. Took the lead after 5 minutes. Again, it was one of these sort of chances where you're taking the ball to the byline, you're putting it into the corridor of uncertainty, and it gets finished pretty well by Denis Aljagic. This is then followed up around about the half an hour mark with a stonewall penalty, as you'll get as well. Krasniček fouled in the build up, and Krasniček duly converts. And really, you're going into half time 2-0 up. That's really it.
Yeah.
Just before the hour mark, Jan Sterba pops up. Lovely header, if I recall correctly, from a set piece. We don't score from set pieces, so that was quite nice to see. And, you know, despite a couple of chances where, you know, I think, you know, we're 3-0 up and we're not really putting the boot in when they're working their way into the box, things like that. We have one which, you know, just whiskers, you know, really just, you know, an inch wide of the post from them. Nothing really happened. Krasniček look a poor side.
Yeah.
They had a couple of, again, sort of chances, but you never, you know, once we started going up and away, you never really felt threatened. And I was expecting actually a better turnout from their supporters. It was quite an empty stadium on the day, and the weather itself was perfectly fine.
So. Yeah.
I mean, basically, that was it. A couple of nice pubs in Krasniček, and we had quite a good time.
Yeah, I was going to say, did he stay afterwards? Did he have lunch or something? Or?
Yeah, well, what we did was we went there and we got in for around about 12:30, and we had enough time for a couple of pints before the game.
Mm-hmm.
Once the game finished, we actually went back to the same place, and I think one other place, and I think we stayed until about 8:00 when we decided to get the train home. It's one of those ones where it's an evening train sort of thing. It's much more convenient in the morning because you're only about an hour on a local bus, but really painless sort of trip to have. And, you know, took a decent enough support, maybe about 150, 200.
So. Yeah, it looked decent in the photos there. So we're going to have a small musical interlude, and then we will learn very briefly about a potted history of that club and place. Yes, so this is normally a potted history of that club, in this case SK Hanatska Slavia Krasniček, very long name for such a small club, but for two reasons. A, I don't think we've talked about the town, and B, there is nothing interesting in their history, basically. We'll do a little bit about the town as well. I mean, history of the club-wise, founded in 1919 in a coffee house, in a very Central European way of doing things, very sort of Viennese. And
except this one wasn't named after a ship.
Yes.
As they're wont to do in this part of the world.
Yeah. And surprise, surprise, they found themselves playing in the local velodrome, as every turn-of-the-century club seems to have done. They played in the second league on 14 occasions, the most recent before this being in 2005-2006. And their most famous son, football-wise, is Josef Silny, who, at the age of 21, left to play for Slavia, had three seasons playing for Slavia, then really hit the ground running with Sparta, eventually banging in 375 goals in 379 games.
That's a really good record.
Yep, picking himself up a World Cup runners-up medal in 1934 and spending a year in France with Nîmes. So that's nice for him. He then,
for having to go that far back.
I mean, he is it. He then came back. He sort of played a couple of years at the very end of his career. He was about 43. He turned out for one season for Kromě Rýš, then joined the board when he wasn't being a postman. And the little ground that they play at is the Stadion Joška, Stadion Jošky Silného.
Yeah, which makes sense.
In his honour, yes, because he's literally it. He is basically the town's only footballing son. The town itself, however, is home to around 30,000 people. It's just over the border from here in the Zlínský kraj. And it calls itself the Athens of Hanar. Slightly over the top, Lee.
It's like half of it's in ruins.
Yeah, that's slightly over the top, but, you know, it's got
gardens.
Old stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Archbishop's Palace and its two gardens have been on the UNESCO World Heritage List since 1998. In fact, the Flower Garden and the Podzamecka Garden. Did you see either of those? Or
no, not
bother.
No, I mean, I was drinking pints.
Yeah.
Not really the time of year for it, to be fair.
It's not really, no. If you really want to see what is frankly a beautiful rose garden, the middle of November is not the time,
yeah.
As you say. But it's a nice enough town for a day out.
Yeah.
It's got square, palace, bit of garden here and there. Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah, it's easy to get in, easy to leave.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. The reason I wasn't there is going to be briefly spoken about in the next section, and then we're going to do a bit of a sort of a deeper dive into what Sam and I got up to on our foreign travels later on in the podcast. But first of all, we're going to do some hot and some not. Hot or not it is. Do you want to go first or?
Sure. Well, I've got a hot and a not. Yep. I will, you know, we'll get the not out of the way.
Okay.
As is traditional for my not at this time of the year.
Aberdeen Football Club. No.
No. more on that later. But no, it's the usual. It's Poppy Mania.
Oh,
and
God, yeah.
Specifically how I think it was a rather poor mascot silence this year.
Really?
I didn't see that many crackers as normal. I mean, there were a few notable exceptions. Your team
Sky helping Blue
out
Sam,
there.
Sky Blue Sam and his regular 1,000-yard stare.
You know, you're dutifully remembering those who fell at Wipers. But really, the idea, and, you know, our club did this as well. I mean, our club is in Aberdeen, not Zbrojovka. Though there were actually poppy sellers, but that's a different Czech thing. The idea that you have to have, you know, a poppy sewn onto a club strip now,
yeah,
to me is absolutely mental. Like, it's for one game. I mean, if you want to have a moment's silence or whatever, then, you know, by all means have at it. But the idea that you're somehow worse than Hitler because you,
yeah,
you know, do not wear a poppy, or you have sort of critiques of the Hague Fund or whatever it's called, I find it's an absolute nonsense. It's John Snow, not that one, the one from Channel 4 News, used to call poppy fascism.
Yes. Yeah, it's become absolutely performative. There's no actual thought behind it because people are just terrified that, you know, you're going to get called out for not doing
Rangers Football Club get a display, you know, that's about it. Yeah, I just find it irksome.
Yeah. No, I'm absolutely with you. Something else I find irksome about modern football is my not, and it's Stephen Corker. Mm-hmm. Not him specifically.
Okay.
But this was, he tweeted about this today, actually. And he thought he had been accepted for a TV job. And he has been very open about his previous gambling problems. Mm-hmm. And yeah, he thought he'd got this job basically as a pundit on a TV football show. And the program's sponsor, Bet365, said they were, quote, nervous about some of the positive work he has done around problem gambling, end quote. So the program makers were forced to bin him. Yeah. If that isn't a hashtag against modern football, I don't know what is.
It's about time to ban the gambling sponsorship from the game.
Certainly is. I mean, that's one really good thing that Cov did, is that they, you know,
yeah,
the owner bought out the shirt sponsor gambling contract 2 years early and put a non-gambling sponsor on the front. So that's nice. But yeah, that was just left a real sour taste in my mouth, that one. Mm-hmm. On a lighter note, you got a hot?
Yes. This is me back on my bullshit. So this is not possibly...
What do you mean back on?
This is... Okay, good. This is... This is not necessarily modern, but I've been obsessed with this all day since it was unearthed. So what somebody has found, footage of TV celebrity chef Ainsley Harriet getting caught in the middle of a Besiktas Fenerbahce riot. So good. I will send you this tweet. David, because it really is spectacular. But can I ask you to just listen in to Ainsley explaining the situation?
Yeah, hold on.
At the stadium, it's not quite the carnival atmosphere I was expecting. I find myself right in the middle of a football riot.
It's like a madhouse. There's sirens going off, there's police everywhere. They've blocked off the road, so I can't even see all the lovely food that they normally have at the football match here. This is madness. I don't get this down at the Emirates. They're firing water cannon now at the people. People are running all over the place. Got flames going over there.
Finally, I call full time on the football and the hope of finding any food stalls here.
Lovely.
I think what I like about it is that it's half, you know, funny because it's Ainsley Harriet generally, and I'm a big fan of Ainsley's work, but a lot of the descriptions of everything, it's very much like from our own correspondent. Mm-hmm. But it's like there's water cannons, flames over there, where's all the lovely food? It's fantastic. Ainsley Harriet, truly a national treasure.
Yeah, also absolute football cliche-tastic bit of shoehorning football reference into voiceover at the end there. I decided to call full time on that. I'll stop it.
Yeah, I just, going there to, you know, what do they even eat in Turkey? Kebab, you know.
Yeah.
For him.
Do they have those bags of like seeds and nuts? I think they do those as well, don't they?
They're not birds.
No, but you get them in Spain sometimes as well. You just get like a little bag of seeds to munch on.
Bag of seeds,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Like the Slavs and sunflower seeds.
Yes. Yeah, that sort of thing.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. It might be that. I might have just made that up. Who knows?
If you're Turkish and you, for some reason, listen to the Broyovcast, please let us know if you've had any seeds at your football game.
Do you like a bag of seeds, Turkish people? I'll tell you what is...
I just got this idea of everyone with a budgie. Like
Oh god. I will give you a hot, and it is a hot both literally and metaphorically, and this is food actually.
Okay.
It is bitter balls. Where have you been all my life?
Oh, okay, because you were in the Netherlands, David.
Yes. Have you seen a bitterball? Do you know what one is?
never had balls in my mouth yet.
Oh well, you bloody well should, because they're absolutely delicious. They are small balls of lava hot deliciousness.
Explain.
Basically, what it is, it's a really really thick beef roux done to the size of a kind of, you know, one bite meatball basically, right? But then they let it cool, and it goes really thick, and then they make it into balls, put it in the egg, flour, breadcrumb thing, and then deep fry them. So you have these,
It's basically deep fried gravy.
Yes, but the gravy also has, like, parsley, nutmeg, and chilli and stuff in it, so there's a kind of depth to it, and you get these little balls in a sort of a bucket thing of like 10 of like
in a bucket in a trough.
Talking about a trough. But yeah, you get sort of like 10 or 12 and and a little thing of mustard for dipping. And seriously, it is the pub snack I did not know I needed.
Really?
But my, yeah, they're delicious.
Okay, and pub snacks, where does it rank amongst salt and vinegar, McCoy's and pork scratchings?
Well, they're hot. So it's like a...
All right.
It's like a starter, basically. But like you get a thing and you can share them between people. So they're not cheap, you know. They're like starter in a restaurant price. Uh-huh. But yeah, they're very, very tasty. And they are unbelievably hot for about 5 hours.
So it's like a steak bake.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Or soup. Soup only has two temperatures.
Very, very hot and completely bone cold. Stone cold, yeah. Anyway, so yeah, bitter balls, delicious. More of this sort of thing, people. Thank you. Yes. Well, that was hot or not. Yeah. That went well. I feel it may have petered out towards the end, but never mind.
I mean, next week... no, it's absolutely... It's no football. No chance I'm coming here next week to do a podcast. But the week after, perhaps, maybe we can have our own list of culinary balls and put it... and see where it ranks, you know?
Yeah, listener, what's your favourite culinary ball?
I love meatballs. I meet balls and I see and eat them. Yeah.
If you're Turkish, seed ball.
Balls. Yeah. Yeah.
No, that's too big.
Did you have your packet of millet alongside your bitter balls?
I did not, but I don't know where this link is going.
But well, allow me to save you.
Go on.
I would like to hear more about bitter balls and this trip to the Netherlands, David. Perhaps you can indulge me.
I certainly can, but only if you tell me about a trip to Greece.
Sure.
Yeah, so the reason I wasn't in Kromiarij is because I was in those Netherlands, having a very lovely time of it, but also had to have basically a week of not drinking any beer when I came back because it nearly killed me.
So, I mean, sounds good. I mean, Dutch beer, though.
Oh, yeah. It was, yeah, just two of the worst hangovers I've had for a very, very long time. I mean, appalling. I was amazed I was still alive on the plane home, to be honest. Yeah.
So break it down for me, David. You were in Deventer, I think it was?
Well, we were in Zutphen, first of all, which is just to...
Me neither, listener.
Yeah, just to give some context, me and Sam are friends with a guy called Mark, who is from Zutphen, but he lives here. And he and I have had a plan for a while to go and see his local team, which is the wonderfully named Go Ahead Eagles in the town of Deventer, which is like 10 minutes on the train from Zutphen. So we managed to get tickets, or he sent his dad to stand outside the ground or something and secure tickets for a game against Vitesse Arnhem, which is a sort of a bit of a derby in a way. So tickets were quite hard to come by. I think it was a sellout, basically. So, yeah, we went purely for this. The game was it was late. It was Saturday at 9 p.m.
Wow.
So we had a day of... walking around Zutphen, I ate a large piece of fried fish from a market. Mm-hmm. We went to a couple of pubs with Mark's dad, met some of his family, ate bitter balls, drank many beers, mm-hmm. went to Deventer, drank many more beers, and then wandered through the rain to the beautifully floodlit, very old school, very English style ground known as, if my Dutch is as good as I think it is, De Aargh. Which translates to...
Are those balls still in your mouth?
Yeah, which... well, I mean, I don't know how to say it, obviously, but it starts with a double A, I think. But it means the eagle's nest, creatively. But it was...
like where Hitler stayed in Bavaria.
Yes. Yeah, it was...
I'm not going to say anything about Dutch hooliganism, right?
But it was great because it really... You know, it was so... like old school atmospheric, like, mm-hmm. you know, big four pylon floodlights in the rain.
Good stuff.
Only 10 minutes walk from the town centre, just like crowds of people going, like, you know, burger vans having a beer on it. Like, it was very, Yeah, it was great. It was really nice.
Dutch stadia tends to look quite good. They tend to follow the more traditional, you know, I don't want to be lazy, but say that British route of having like four stands rather than these soulless bloody bowls.
This was very much it. Four separate stands, four big fuck off floodlight pylons, and yeah, brilliant. We got tickets in two separate sections. Mark was about... He was about five blocks down from where I was, but I was on the corner, so the, like, ultras behind the goal were just to my right. And I went up, and I found where I was sitting, stroke standing. It was right at the back of the stand. And I was joined by then two Dutch guys who said something like, you know, I hope you're not thinking about sitting down because... You know, this is where we stand. And they were joined by like 12 other people who were incredibly friendly and incredibly fascinated about what the fuck I was doing there. Yeah. And they were all very, very nice. So shout out to, among others, Tim, Leon, Anouk and various other people for being incredibly nice, teaching me some songs and giving me at least two bags of cheese. No, seriously, one of them just came with like a freezer bag, but full of cubed cheese, just as a snack. It's really good cheese as well.
That's a very Dutch thing to do, I feel.
Yeah. And yeah, they just kept buying us beer. The beers just kept coming. They would send somebody down to the little kiosk who would come back with like 30 pints on like those carrying things, put them down and just went, you know, go nuts, lads. Help yourselves. Wouldn't take money for it. Like just bonkers. The game was 5-1. Eagles won 5-1. And it was just brilliant. Everything about it was brilliant. I really enjoyed myself.
Will you be back?
I'd like to think so. It was fun. Got myself a t-shirt.
Yes, I saw.
Yeah, it's good.
Posted that on the Twitter.
I did. And you were in...
I was in Thessaloniki.
Yes.
And I went to Stadium Tomba to watch Paok 2, Aberdeen 2 in the Conference League. So, a stadium I doubt I will be back to.
So give us your overall experience of that then.
Greek beer sucks, first of all. It's a very strange thing, right? Because Thessaloniki itself is very... eating is very cheap. You can get very nice sort of seafood and you can sit down for a meal that takes you 4 hours and it'll cost you 15 euro or whatever.
Yeah.
But it'll be 6 euro a pint. That's it's one of these sorts of places. Easy to get to. I mean, you just take a flight from Bratislava, only takes an hour 20.
Nice.
So that was all very good. Weather was fantastic. It's 23, 24 degrees in November.
Glorious.
What more can you ask for, really? But it was just weird. It was a very weird thing because the city itself is very nice. It's, I say very nice, it's mental. It's about the size of Brno, but you think it's about 10 times that population because it's always cars everywhere. It's very densely packed in the town centre. Not so many pubs, but there are bars. There's lots of bars and coffee shops, including the bar that I found called Ufleku.
Good.
Which sold Primator. So that maybe says a lot about the standard of Greek beer. But it's all very nice and people are all very friendly. And this is then, you then go, well, why are they putting us on a bus to the stadium, which is 4 kilometres away from where they told Aberdeen fans to congregate, 2.5 hours before the kickoff.
Mm.
And then, you know, so a lot of people were saying, oh, I'm going to get a taxi at the stadium or something like that. Every single Greek person we met said, no, you will not leave with your life.
Right.
So on the bus we all went.
A bit of hospitality there, yeah.
We went, but they are absolutely mental. Like the whole thing, there was like massive, you know, sort of like chanting songs 10 minutes before kickoff with about 30,000 fans. It was very strange. It's just a sort of an assault on the senses, one might say. A very good trip. I had 3 gyros.
Good.
I had a lot of other stuff. I saw lots of cats.
Nice.
Lots of cats in Thessaloniki. and I think that's about it actually, but I had a very nice time. What I shouldn't have done was say to my work that I will work the university event on the Friday.
Oh yes, that was silly, yeah.
So I got up, I mean, to be fair, the only plane out of town that day was at 9 a.m. So whatever happened, I had to get up at like 5 o'clock Greek time.
Yeah.
But then thinking that this event would take 2 hours when it actually turned out to be 6.5 wasn't great.
No. So you got up at 5 a.m., got back to Bonneau, went to the work event thing, and finished.
Finished about 9:30, 9:45. I should note that I got my train was also delayed at Bratislava, so I got in about 3:15 to Brno. 3:30, I was at the University of Technology.
Oh dear me! Yeah,
that. Oh, that mama!
That was a.
The things I
faux pas.
The things I do for expanding my company's influence in the student population.
Indeed, yeah. Well, we're about to expand our influence in the hopefully tasty beer situation, because coming up next, after all that talk of hangover fuel and crap Dutch lager, it's Beer of the Podcast.
I was gonna go. Well, Beer of the Podcast.
Smooth.
It's Beer of the Podcast. It's my beer.
It certainly is.
My beer. So, following on from what did we have last time? Mango cheesecake.
Yes.
We've got a bit more traditional.
Okay.
So. I was...
It's a nice colour.
It is, isn't it? It's quite a golden colour. So I was at the square yesterday because I started putting out little things for the winter and stuff like that. And there's a beer tent there.
Mm-hmm.
So I picked up something for us.
Cool.
And it's the time of the year, so we have gone for Pivovar Loka's Svati Martin Lager. So, Pivovar Loka, it is from Loka nad Veličko, which is, if my knowledge serves me correctly, just south of Uherské Hradiště.
Okay.
And this is basically their premium light lager single hop. So, this should be is just a celebrating St. Martin and St. Martin's Day.
And just a nice, easy drinker.
In a nice sort of lager, basically. Yeah. So I thought
in a nice shaped bottle, actually. It's a
nice shaped bottle. It was can't really recall how much it was. I think it was around about 120 crowns for 3/4 of a litre in a nice
solid
glass bottle with a picture of presumably St. Martin on the front of it.
Him of the goose ducking.
Yes, indeed.
Yes.
So this. Now, I've had Loka beers before, and as far as I'm aware, they just do very serviceable, nice lagers and things like that. So, let's have a go of this.
Smells like a nice, serviceable lager.
Oh, it does indeed.
So,
maybe a bit bitter at my nose. Let's see. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. A little bit sweet, but not offensively so.
A bit bitter on the end, almost like a Mazak.
Yeah. That's lovely. That's a real easy drinker, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what you want. Cold afternoon, couple of beers. That's probably the sort of beer that you're looking for.
Yeah. Yeah, good solid choice that, Sam. Lovely.
Quite refreshing as well.
Yeah, it is. So, yeah.
I was actually drinking. I thought I wouldn't endure. I wouldn't subject you to it, but I was drinking a cappuccino stout yesterday at the square, which they also make, which was actually not as sickly sweet as you think it would be.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Yeah. No, that's nice actually.
Take you down to Lagertown.
Yeah. Ooh, actually, one of the places we stopped for a beer in Deventer. This was mad. I can't remember the name of the place, but it had something like over 400 beers available.
Oh wow!
Some on tap, but most in bottles. But it was a very long, narrow building, as I assume. Buildings on main squares of Hanseatic towns generally are, and all the walls had just individual little shelves, just shelves and shelves and shelves dotted about, and each of the shelves was home to one bottle and one glass of each beer that was
almost like a pigeonhole sort
available.
Of thing.
Yes,
that was
interesting.
Well, that is interesting.
Yeah, and. I cannot for the life of me remember what I was drinking.
Great content.
No, it was nice. It was a nice pub. And we, it had football on the telly. We had some more bitter balls. We drank beer. It was good.
Nice.
So, yes. Yeah, excellent choice on that one anyway. So, we have got one final section, I guess, which was the final home game of this part of the season, and it was against Olomouc B on Saturday afternoon. So let's talk probably not that much about this. So, after 6 goals scored and none conceded in the previous 2 games, this looked like
a banker.
Yeah, we might be able to finish the season, or this half of the season, on a decent note. Let me go initially with this quote from an interview with Kuba Reznicek that was in the press today. And it goes like this. Quote, "We were on a winning streak, mentally very good, and we're up against an acceptable opponent on paper. I don't know what happened to us, again, because that performance was completely lacking in any self-confidence. Frankly, it was tragic. This is not how you play if you want promotion. And it really, really bothers me. It's just a shame that it doesn't bother more people."
First of all,
strong words from the butcher there.
Kuba Reznicek is English, has gone
leaps and bounds. Yeah, really has improved.
That's actually a very telling quote.
He sounds furious,
but also that is actually sticking in to a lot of the playing squad.
Yeah.
So there are rifts within the squad at the moment.
He's also, bear in mind, as he was last year, he is the top scorer in the league still. He is keeping that team afloat by himself.
He's a machine. This is it. Like, I mean, if you give him a chance, he will generally, take it. I think what the thing was, maybe correct me if I'm wrong, David, I can barely remember any chances that happened during this game.
Yeah. It was very Klusacek-esque, wasn't it? We didn't put our foot on the ball. We didn't take control of any aspect of the game. The goal was kind of sloppy. We lost 1-0, by the way.
Yeah, so I mean, on paper, this was I said at the time online that I thought this was quite a strong squad. You would be strange if it wasn't the strongest 11, considering we're going into what is really going to be a 5-month break. You want to, keep the momentum, and of course, keep in mind that what would have happened with this Borovka victory is that we would have been clear in third, and we would have had 6 points to make up against Vyshkov, who are still topping the table. What happened and what the stats tell me is that there were 5 shots on goal. I can't really remember those so clearly, but I remember there being maybe 1 good save and the rest of them really being half chances.
Yeah. Yeah, we didn't really carve out anything.
Mm-hmm. And that's not to say that Sigma Olomouc B looked any good. They weren't. They're not a very good team, and they are going to be absolutely in the discussion, even if they are 11th right now, about going straight back down the end of the season.
Yeah, it's very much the only reason they're that high is because they took 3 points off us, sort of thing.
This is it. They're now in 11th place with a -8 goal difference. Yeah. And there is, and what's maybe interesting, just to maybe add some colour to this, is there's actually only 5 points between 11th place Sigma and 16th place Prosteyov. That is going to be some squeaky bums coming in March, April of next year.
Yeah. On the back of this result, however, we have just got breaking news, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
Just while we were preparing for Beer of the Podcast, I was checking social media, and it seems in the most uninspiring move we could possibly make, the club has given Tomasz Polak the gig for the rest of the season.
I don't know why you would do this 3 days after a result like that when you have got time to maybe see
yes,
what your options
yeah.
are.
You've got 3.5 months, lads.
So this is it. I mean, again, it feels rushed, but every appointment really seems rushed by this club. I don't know how much cool heads remain, but I don't know how much is happening behind the scenes either. But it does seem like
give it the butcher. He's doing everything else.
It's just a very dull and inspiring appointment, like you say.
Yeah. I mean, for those first 2 games with Polak in charge, they did seem to be playing with the shackles off a bit, and that was nice. But he hasn't really managed before. He was B team coach, and but he hasn't really had a big job before. And it remains to be seen whether, you know, whether things like, you know, a slight, you know, a dip mentally after a defeat to a team like Olomouc B would be something he could dig us out of. He has no proven track record either way. It might be inspired, who knows? But yeah, it just it just seems like the easy option, really. Yeah,
and I mean the club loves taking an easy option when, you know, actually.
But he knows the club.
This is a good person to have around, isn't it? As well, this is the thing. Knows us, you know, intimately and things. And when the club is going to need to find out quite soon that having club legends does not equal club legend managers.
Yeah.
But, you know, you never know. I mean, the thing is, like, if Zborovka get into gear and start grinding out a few results, probably will be up there at the end of the season, among, you know, in contention for promotion. But that's not really about the quality of the tactics or even, you know, one might say the quality of the squad. The league is just a bonkers league. The league is not very good. There are plenty of ways to carve out chances. There's plenty of ways to score. This is a league of poor defences and really, you know, open play at times. So if results start going your way and ticking along, then, you know, who knows?
Yeah, indeed.
I've got to put out a couple of apologies before we go.
Oh, yeah.
We were joined by Colm for Saturday afternoon of the fantastic Bohemians UK account, so you can follow Colm and get all your English language Bohemka updates at Bohemians1905GB. Apologies for having to be subjected to that Zborovka Brno performance, but it was great to have you around
was,
in the second
Lovely
city.
To see you, yeah.
And apologies as well to Greg Aitken, who decided to come as well, and wasn't the silky smooth football that, you know, he's maybe come to expect
from
Saudi Arabia. From my lawn, yes, yeah. Indeed. But I think that about wraps us up for the day.
Yes, it does. That will be it for this half of the season. I'll see what I can do in terms of content, and maybe we'll do a couple over the winter break, because as we said, it is a long winter break. So
we'll be popping in and out.
Yes.
And of course, we will be, you know, using our social media channels to keep you up to date with developments of the squad. One would assume that we might be looking into the players market, but we'll see about that.
Yeah. Right. Thanks for listening. As always, listener, it's been awfully nice to be with you. And we'll see you when we see you.
Bye.
Klidně tichý hlas též můžeš mít, jenom zkus tu se mnou chvíli být a pak řekni mi, že nechceš odejít. Tak zpívej a povídej, nejhezčí mi úsměv dej, řekni mi, že navždy máš mě. Mám cizích pohlednic, zaspívám, co slovy nelze říct. No tak řekni mi, co mít bys mohl víc. Tak zpívej a povídej, nejhezčí mi úsměv dej, řekni mi, že navždy máš. Zůstaň, kam pak bys jí šel, co bys tam dělat chtěl, slavík lásky tvé by o něm měl. Ve mně sebou chceš-li odejít, víš, že nemůžu tu sama být, víš, že cizí je mi slovo opustit. Víš, že nemám mne už nikdo rád a že nemám s kým si povídat, jenom ty a dlaně tvé dovedou hřát. Tak zpívej. slyšel, co bys tam dělat chtěl, zůstaň, kam pak bys jí šel.